From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour and next hour. Get ready for this one. Nick Redfern, our guest, with what he calls the horrible truth of the Roswell story. Those are his words. So we'll be checking in with Nick on that for the full program in just about an hour, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, some good news to report. That Boy Scout has been found alive. They call it a modern-day miracle in Utah. Rescuers found an 11-year-old Boy Scout who disappeared 4 days ago in the Utah wilderness, a discovery that the scouting officials are calling the modern-day miracle. Brendan Hawkins was located safe and sound, no major injuries. He was found just before noon near Lily Lake, about 5 miles northeast of the Boy Scout camp, where he was last seen on Friday. After this discovery, Brennan's emotional mother addressed the media, saying her son's survival represented nothing less than divine intervention. The boy, who was trained to be a Boy Scout, vanished from the camp in the mountains on Friday, and he must have walked straight up a ridge for several miles, and then he had no idea where he was. One of the volunteers saw him just sitting by the end of a small little river, and he had eaten berries and drank some of the natural springing water in the area, and he was okay. And the temperatures were not that bad. He was able to sleep at night, and thank God he is okay. In Ethiopia, a 12-year-old girl who was abducted and beaten by men trying to force her into a marriage was found being guarded by three lions who apparently had chased off her captors. The girl was missing for a week. She had been taken by seven men who wanted to force her to marry one of them, according to police there. She was beaten repeatedly before she was found by police and relatives on the outskirts of a town near Ethiopia in that country. She had been guarded by the lions for about a half a day. According to police, they stood guard until we found her, and then they just left her like a gift and went back into the forest. Now that's a story. Not the same, though, for a snake handler in Cyprus. He's now fighting for his life at this hour after a king cobra bit the hand that literally fed him. The hooded snake bit his master when the 43-year-old man stuck his hand into a cage holding food at a traditional Cypriot religious festival attended by thousands of people. Poison from the king cobra, the longest venomous snake in the world, is highly toxic and can kill within minutes. The man was taken to a hospital where he's now on a ventilator. Attacks by king cobras, indigenous to the Indian subcontinent and Southeast Asia, are very rare, they say. Researchers say they strike only if they feel threatened. While we were on the air last night, we took a phone call during our open line segment from a woman who said there's one huge fire, George, in Detroit. And she went on to explain it to us. Indeed, 150 firefighters battled this blaze in Detroit. It could be seen for miles. It destroyed a sprawling, century-old warehouse, burned out several businesses in an area that includes warehouses, factories once used by the early automobile industry. That's where some of the first Model Ts were produced back in 1904. And T. Boone's Pickens, he says, you know what? Gasoline prices in the United States will soon reach $3 a gallon within the next 12 months. I predict that could happen sooner than that. He says, if you think you're going to see $3 gasoline in the United States within the next year, guess what? It'll happen, and it'll be a shock. T. Boone's Pickens, talking to Reuters in New York, said that while the prices at the pump will rise higher at the current levels, they're not so bad compared with European countries where gasoline costs $5 a gallon or more. I like that quote. Not so bad. The world's first solar sail spacecraft was launched from a Russian submarine, but apparently it didn't work. They've lost contact, no signal. And so I would assume that flight did not happen, and it did not work. This solar sail was supposed to be used for a new propulsion system, and they've just lost signal. They're going to have to try all over again. It was a $4 million experiment. Last week we had Dr. Luis Turri on the air, and he made some predictions about the weekend we just had. And he said that there'd be some kind of dramatic disaster. Police would be the ones to announce it. I didn't see anything happen, so I asked you to send me some fast blasts to see if anything happened. I did get a couple. I'll tell you about that. But I also got an email from Dr. Turi. He says, while I was on the air with you, George, the police will make news. That's what I said. And I gave you a set of dates, which, by the way, happened to have been the weekend we just had, as I mentioned. On those days, police were unusually busy dealing with all sorts of drama. But the major one that always makes it is this one. My prediction stands. It is not every day that the D.C. police chief gets his car stolen. His unmarked black 1999 Ford Crown Victoria was stolen near his home. The vehicle had been parked near his home by a police officer Friday evening while the chief was out of town. So Dr. Turi believes that that was the event that was supposed to be the major police announcement. I think the fast blast that came in might be the event happening in Alberta, Canada, where thousands of people had to relocate due to flooding. And police apparently gave the word to leave. Now, that could be the disaster that they were talking about, that he was talking about. And that came in from a fast blast, and I think that could very well be one of them. Then I get this email in today from a fellow who says, love the show. Can you ever talk about fate? Well, we do talk about fate once in a while, but because this is open lines this hour, in addition to what you talk about, we will talk about fate. Because he says, I always wonder about fate, George, as simple as it is, a person walking down a side street or losing a game of chess. I wonder if that's fate, and I wonder if that affects them for the rest of their life. Well, I don't know about that, but if you want to share some of your fate stories, you can do that, because here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Richard C. Hoagland just sending me an urgent message saying that the Planetary Society, which is behind the Cosmos One, the solar sail, may have just picked up the signal from this object up there that they launched, and we'll find out. Richard will keep monitoring that situation for us. He's been listening to it all afternoon. If that's the case, Richard says, it is possible. Here it is. I'm reading it right now. It is possible it made it to orbit and all is well. So we'll find out. Richard C., just keep me abreast of that story, if you would, with the electronics that we have. Richard C. Hoagland, EnterpriseMission.com, is in immediate contact with us here at Coast to Coast. And don't forget, Richard will be on Thursday, by the way, with a roundtable discussion on God, Man, and E.T. We've got four major guests, including Mr. RCH. Let's go to the phones. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is James. I'm calling from Minnesota on the road.
Hey, yes, you are. What's going on, James?
I got a question. I emailed you this, but I thought I'd call you anyway. How much does the Earth weigh?
How much does the Earth weigh?
Yeah.
Now, that's a good question. I have no idea.
With the exception of the moon's gravity, Earth weighs zero because in space you're weightless.
A trick question, huh? How much did I lose on this one?
That's it.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, Earth in space, you're weightless, so Earth doesn't really weigh anything.
All right, let me ask you this then, James. How much would the planet weigh if it were put on a scale?
I don't think anybody could ever try to figure that out.
No, that would be way too much.
Well, I tell you what, with the exception of what we launched into space and the exception of what's come into the atmosphere from space, the Earth weighs the same as when it was first made because it's just a different form.
Hoagland, again, who's in touch with me on everything in space, says 6 times 10 to the 20th tons. We'll see.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mitch calling from Las Vegas.
Hey, Mitch. How are you?
Just an honor to be on your show.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Hey, I'd like to know if you're going to do any shows upcoming or if you know anything about the human brain, because I know we only use a small potential of our brain.
Well, as long as we're not looking at my human brain, we probably will. We've done some shows on the human brain before. We're going to do more. We've got some great guests in the past who have done some work for us on, like, the amygdala of the brain and things like that. So, well, yes, we will.
You know, because we only use, a very small percentage of our brain, up to 10%, I guess.
Exactly.
And if we were able to, let's say, I know you have a lot of shows about, you know, past civilizations. What happened if maybe one of our past civilizations had the potential of the full power of the brain? We'd be able to telecommunicate telepathically. We would be able to maybe move objects. And do you think maybe that they shut down our brain to this percentage because maybe we're too greedy to have that kind of power? I mean, do you think that we might have had 100% of usage of our brain and, you know, maybe built the pyramids that way through mental telepathy? Or
I think, well, first of all, you know the way I think about the pyramids. I don't think they were made by thousands of Egyptians dragging huge stones around.
No, I concur.
In terms of the capacity of the brain, were we penalized? Were we punished? Did they diminish our capacity? I don't know. If you believe in the theories of, like, Michael Cremo and others who think that we've had advanced civilizations here before, then that means at least that they used a higher capacity of our brain.
Sure.
Why did it go away? I don't know.
Exactly. Or even maybe to go interdimensionally, because I'm sure that if we were able to use 100% of our brain's power, we could probably slip dimensions. I don't know. I mean, I'm really curious about this, because a lot of your programs, it seems to maybe kind of go back down to that base of what happened with us.
See, now you're going to make me use the extra 3% in my brain to think about this thing.
Well, I don't want to make you hurt yourself.
Thanks, Mitch. Take care of yourself.
Well, I appreciate it, George. Keep up the good work.
Okay, let's go to our next wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there. Going once.
Yes, James Webb.
Hey, James, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
James Webb used to head up NASA.
Yes, sir. You were talking about fate a little earlier, and I just wanted to share my experience.
Sure.
I was stationed in Ramadi, Iraq, right there between Fallujah and Habaniya, and actually got hit with a roadside bomb.
Now, when were you there, James?
2003 to 2004.
Okay, so you're just there. All right, so you get hit by a roadside bomb.
Yes, sir. And funny thing, the way the Hajis emplaced the three daisy-chained IEDs, they were 155 artillery rounds, they actually imploded down into the ground instead of exploded. I was a gunner up in the top of a Humvee operating a 240 Bravo, and that's pretty much what saved my life, is the mistake they made by having them explode downward.
You would think that they would have recognized the mistakes that they've had out there.
Absolutely. And, they've took a lot of good men and women, for that matter. I lost some friends out there and some leadership.
I'm sorry to hear that. You know, no matter how we all feel about this war and whether we should be there or not, at least it appears to me that Americans continue to back our soldiers, unlike what they did during the Vietnam War.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And since my return, I've had a lot of Vietnam vets in the era of Vietnam contact me and just help me emotionally through, you know, what I've went through.
Was it and is it still tough for you?
Oh, absolutely. I hear a loud noise, a car backfire, and it's all over again.
Oh, no. I mean, what do you do? I mean, do you just, like, jump real fast, or what happens?
Oh, yes, sir. Scanning 360 degrees.
Man. And it's going to take a while, James, isn't it, for that to go through your system, I guess, if at all.
Oh, definitely.
Well, your friends supporting you? They taking care of you emotionally, too?
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
That's good. And, hey, thank you for serving.
Oh, not a problem. It's my pleasure.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, sir.
That's an American soldier for you. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello, where are you?
In Glendora.
Where's that? Is that
California.
In California? That's Glendora.
Yeah, that's California.
Okay. There's so many cities, I just don't know where they all are.
Well, it's Salt Lake County, it's huge.
All right, so what's going on?
Well, I wanted to talk about fate.
Fate, huh?
Yeah, how I met my husband.
All right, tell us.
Well, see, we had both gone into the Air Force about 10 months apart, and neither one of us actually finished basic, you know, for one reason or another. And we actually wound up meeting at a coffee house that for some reason both of us would normally not go to.
And so you both show up at this coffee house.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you bump into each other? How does that happen?
Well, I was thinking about leaving, and he was just walking through the crowd, and he decided to say hi.
Out of the blue. He didn't know you, right?
That's right.
So he sees you. Hey, he's kind of cute. And he says, hi. So you say, what?
Wow.
You say, wow? You say, wow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he says hi, you say wow, then what does he do?
Well, we basically have a lot of fun that night, and I get him home at 3 in the morning, and we've been together ever since.
How long have you been?
About 8 years.
8 years now, huh?
Mm-hmm, married 5.
That's pretty darn good. That is fate. That it really is. I love that story.
Yep, and we feel that if we had stayed in the Air Force, we still would have met.
Yeah, somewhere along the line you would have met. And you know what? You might have met in another life, too.
Yeah, that's very possible. We believe in that, too. He's on his 9th, I'm on my 13th.
Life or marriage?
Life.
Oh, okay. All right, good. All right, thanks for the call.
All right.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning. There, George. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Hey, I'm from Taylor, Michigan.
Ah, yes. Know Taylor well. My very first house when I was just a young lad was there. I was 21 years old.
Yeah, I heard you say that. And you said you had some friends that had Hall Rentals.
Yes.
On the Middle Belt. Well, they're now on Telegraph Road between 94 and Ecorse Road.
Somebody's got to go in there and ask for Jerry. And tell them I said hi.
If I get down in there, I'll sure do that. But
yeah.
I got something else to tell you.
Okay.
It's actually two things, if you don't mind. One, that building that you were talking about that caught on fire here last night.
Yeah.
That was the old Studebaker building. The Model T building was about 30 feet, which, as they said, just across the street.
So that one was okay?
That one got hit, but they kept it from burning down.
Cool, okay.
They're getting any damage on it, hardly at all.
I would let the Studebakers go, but keep that Model T.
Right, because that's the Model T. And another thing, you said you worked on a radio station in the 70s, WCAR.
Yes, sir.
I moved up here from Kentucky in the 70s, early 70, and I had a car, and I was sitting out in the backyard. And I would listen to that WCAR radio station all the time.
I was there from 1971 to 1973.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, that's a good radio station. One more thing, real quick, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about fate. Like I said, I moved up here, and I stayed with my brother there in the east, I guess you'd say West Detroit, near Outer Drive and Schoolcraft area.
Oh, sure.
And I went out looking for an apartment one day and knocked on this lady's door, or this girl's door, and asked her about the management room and check on an apartment. And 34 years later, we've been married for 34 years.
See, another one. Fate
yeah.
works again.
And it's good. It's really good. And I really enjoy your program. It's very interesting, and I stay up all night listening to it.
Go say hi to Jerry. Tell him, by the way, he owes me $20 from 1968.
Okay.
All right.
His name's Jerry, right?
Jerry Hawley owns
I'll
the place.
I'll tell him that.
All right, great.
You have a good day, sir.
All right, take care. I want that $20 back, Jerry. By the way, Richard C. says that close reviews of telemetry data received at two ground stations appear to reveal weak signals from the Cosmos-1 during the first hours after the launch. The two signals were discovered independently at the Mahiro portable station and the permanent, come on, Richard, what are you sending me here, permanent Pescavas through a close analysis of the data collected by the receivers around the time of the expected contact with the spacecraft. What does this mean, Richard? He says, oh, here it is. This means it's in orbit, and he's all excited about that. So he'll monitor that situation for us, because I'm sure we'll hear more about it on Thursday. I'll come back in a moment. We've got another half hour to go of open lines for you, and then we'll bring in Nick Redfern at the top of the hour as we talk about his investigation called Body Snatchers in the Desert. Chilling, isn't it? And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Your phone calls for the rest of this hour. Richard C. Hoagland monitoring the progress of the solar sail that was launched from a Russian submarine, a $4 million experiment. Richard is now sending me more telemetry than the missile and the spacecraft might be sending back to its own people. How about that? Let's go back to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi, this is Leo. I'm calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, Leo.
It's a beautiful full moon night here in the desert. Richard C. Hoagland land.
Yeah, he's not too far away from where you are right now, as a matter of fact.
You're right, absolutely right. Listen, I was curious, I was very curious last night to hear you mention that you don't really buy into the concept of peak oil.
No, I do not.
And why is that? I'm very curious because it's the first time I think I've ever heard Art seems to feel fervently believe in that, you know, and this thing called the long emergency, termed by James Howard Kunstler, an article that he read that was some months ago that was published in Rolling Stone. But Art talks about it regularly, and I was curious to know what's your take on that. Do you think it's just hype? Is it all price gouging? Or
what? I think there are some people who actually believe that this world, this planet, is peaking and will come on a downturn. I happen not to subscribe to the belief that oil is part of fossil fuels. I happen to think, because to me, you'd need an immense amount of the plant life, vegetation life, and animal life. I can't understand how it could be so deep within the planet. And I subscribe to some theories that some others have, and that is that this planet has a natural ingredient within it, and I think it's oil. And
so I think self-replenishing?
Yes. I don't know if it's self-replenishing, but I do believe that it is a natural part of the planet. When the planet was formed, this substance was part of it. And there are some scientists who are beginning to think maybe, not a lot of them, but maybe that's the case. And if it is so, I think we have enough oil to last thousands of years. I'm not a proponent on oil. I think for political reasons, we ought to get off it as quickly as we can. But I do believe this planet has more than some of these people are saying.
Huh, that's very interesting. I kind of tend to think the other way. I think that it seems to me that there's been a great amount of exploration during the last century and everything, and I think that the major fields are, you know, they're running to depletion, and that
one of us will be right.
One of us will be right, without a doubt.
Okay, hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks, George.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
You being part of the program. East of the Rockies, where might you be?
Hi, I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Hello.
And my name's Caroline. And, George, I'd like to ask you about a vacation you were going to take out by a lake where the guest had said you could see a lot of UFOs.
Oh, Jim Gilliland up on the West Coast. I have not gone yet.
Oh, okay.
I have not gone yet. All my vacations lately seem to be revolving around my family and things like that. So I still don't know when I'm going to get there, but he tells us, because I get regular emails from him, that UFOs are still in abundance up there.
Okay. Can I ask you another question?
I'll try to answer it.
Okay. A guest called a few weeks ago about brown recluse spider bites.
Yes. I had a friend who almost lost a leg because he had been bitten by one of those things.
Yeah, they're pretty scary. And this guest knew of a guy who just about died. Until his daughter said to use a frequency zapper on it. Do you remember that?
Yes, I think we're talking about some devices that you can Google search for. Edgar Cayce had some remedies to the old prophet, but it was not that.
And he did give a website, which I...
And I don't have it. I don't have it in my head.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. I appreciate you calling. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Eli.
Hello, Eli.
I'm calling from Oregon. What I want to say is from my deeply held principles, and I want to ask you to not cut me off if you don't agree with me.
Well, if I don't agree with you, that's not the reason why you'd get cut off. If you get cut off, it could be because you're going on and on and on with a story that may not be leading anywhere.
I only have 2 points.
And by the way, you'll not get cut off. You'll be told it's time to leave.
Okay.
All right?
Fair enough? I have 2 points on the topic of supporting our troops.
Okay.
The first point is that this war in Iraq is unjustified, illegal, a criminal operation that's making my country less safe. I've read ample evidence in both in the mainstream press and otherwise that Bush invaded another country on false pretenses and is now allowing his corporate buddies to raid their resources, take their jobs, and restrict their government powers, which hasn't gotten out much, but I've read about it.
That may all be possible.
Yeah, while Bush falsely claims to be installing a democracy.
Okay, but where are you going with this?
And that
because I've talked about this on the show before. That's all very possible. I agree with that.
Right, one more sentence here. This has enraged millions more people against my country in a way that leads to even more support for terrorism against us. That's the first point. Second point, one of America's values is being personally responsible for one's own choices and actions. So to the American soldiers, I say I have compassion for your suffering and support you in healing from the trauma of war. And without you, this criminal operation would be impossible.
No, you can't say that. And let me tell you
if
why.
There weren't
let me hold
American
on, hold on, hold on,
there,
hold on, hold on. You cannot blame the soldiers for being
I'm
there.
I'm not blaming them. Blaming them is judging them, and I'm not blaming them. I'm just pointing out the actual fact that if the American soldiers would not carry out this war, it wouldn't happen.
They have to. That's
no,
part of the, yes, they do. They have to follow the orders because,
yes.
First of all, the definition of an illegal order is debatable in this particular case. I've already given you the credence that you may be right in your first statement, but the point is that hasn't been proven yet. Agreed?
No, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
Proven.
It hasn't been proven. Even though, let's say, the Downing Street memos are authentic, and they probably are, it really hasn't been proven yet. So my point is that you cannot have soldiers in the military disobeying those kinds of orders.
No, they cannot join the military.
Well, they're not. If you know what's going on right now with the military, military enlistments are down dramatically.
I know.
All right.
I know. And so the people who are in it are making a personal choice to support this war that is making
you're dealing with apples and oranges. I can't agree with you there. However, you got your statements in, and are you satisfied that I gave you the time you wanted? Say thank you, because I got to take some other calls.
I think I got the basics of what I was trying to say across. Thank you.
Very good. If you're a soldier must take the orders and go where he is ordered to go, or you will have a collapse. And in this particular case, a soldier cannot judge the specific merits of why we are there and why we are not. That's our job as American citizens. That's why you go to a voting booth every 4 years, and that's why you make the decision that you make. You elected George Bush as president, those of you who voted for him, and now his popularity is down under 40%, dramatically under 40%. That was decided in the last election. If you didn't want him in, if you weren't happy with his policies in Iraq, don't vote for the guy. Pure and simple. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Good.
You know, when you join the service, you join not just because it's in peacetime, but you never know what's coming up. if you know what I mean.
And not so, you know, every guy I know who's enlisted or who's been drafted in the old days, nobody wanted to see war.
Hell no. incidentally, don't you always say, didn't you say something about you don't believe in accidents and things?
I don't believe in coincidences.
Well, that's the word.
I believe things happen for a reason. There's synchronicity. There's a force out there that makes these things occur.
Well, several times in my life, I could have been crushed or killed, and something moved me from one place to another, and people saw it.
You mean like physically moved you?
Physically. Later on, a psychic told me, they said, oh, yeah, you've got a guardian angel that won't let you get hurt. And you said, you're only here to observe, which is kind of interesting because of the two times that it happened, you know, now looking back at my life, and I'm over 70, I can't help thinking that, you know, and the psychic also said, well, you're here for a plan. We are all here with a plan. It's not by accident that we're here. You know what I mean?
Well, they saved you for a reason.
There must have been.
Make good on it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, first time caller line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about fate, how my mother predicted my fate. I used to date a man for many years. And the first time when she met him, she says, this is not the man you're going to marry, and this is not the man you're going to be with. So I said, whom am I going to be with? She goes, somebody that you won't be able to communicate. I said, oh, yeah? Anyway, Mama died after I was dating this man for 12 years. Mama died. And after 3 years after Mama died, I made a movie, and I went to the Cannes Film Festival with my movie. And I ran into a man that I could not, he was French and I'm Indian and
uh-huh.
Speak English, and he could not speak a word of English and I could not speak a word of French. And 6 months later we got married and we could not speak each other's language. And it came back to what my mother said.
And what happened to the guy you were dating for 12 years in the meantime?
Oh, I told him, hasta la vista, baby.
How did you do that? On the phone?
No, I came back from the Cannes Film Festival. I came back here and I said, well, I've been dating you for all these years. Are we going to ever get together or what?
You wanted a commitment, didn't you?
I wanted a commitment. And he says, no. I said, well, then guess what? I'm going to marry a man that I can't talk to. And that's exactly what I did. And I've been married to this Frenchman now for 10 years.
Mama knew.
Yes, and Mama predicted that this was not the man.
She was right. Thanks.
Yes.
Appreciate
Thank
you being
much.
Part of. I can't imagine dating someone for 12 years and not making a commitment one way or another. I mean, I wouldn't do that. East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George, good evening.
Hi.
I have got a great story of fate for you.
Okay.
I used to be my wife's gymnastic coach, and 5 years later, I hadn't seen, talked to her. We met again in the middle of 110,000 people at a University of Tennessee football game, and we've been together for 7 years now.
That's cool. How did that happen? How did you spot her, or she you?
Well, we were on a concourse. We were walking toward each other, and I said, Jill, how are you? And she looked at me, and she had no clue who I was. But from that day forth, we've been together ever since.
That's cool. So she stopped, huh, when you said that?
She stopped when I said Jill.
And I assume you had a little date that night?
We had a date that night, and the next week we went to Six Flags Over Georgia for an amusement park and got married 2 years later, and here we are.
Never looked back.
Never looked back.
That's cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Those are neat stories. Fate. Somebody fast-blasted me, by the way. There was an old movie. What was his name? Rod something. I'm not sure. He was a pilot. And the plane crashed, and it was a black and white film. Fate is the Lonely Hunter, something like that. They couldn't figure out why the plane crashed. The pilot was dead, and his buddy tried to defend him. They tried to blame the pilot. What happened is that on takeoff, a cup of coffee spilled down into some of the equipment. giving it false readings, so he shut off engines, thinking that it was going to explode or catch on fire, when nothing was really wrong. It was just that the coffee had shortened out some of the gauges. And they did that in a reenactment afterwards, and the guy found out how to do it. I think it was Fate is the Lonely Hunter or something, with a couple old Hollywood home run hitters in those days. Somebody will get that for me, because that's driving me nuts. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
Kentucky.
What's going on in Kentucky?
Oh, not much. It's just a beautiful full moon.
That means earthquake time.
I know. I was remembering your caller from last week, and we just had two.
And we've had a series of little ones along the west coast of California again, small ones.
Right, I heard that.
Yeah, Glenn Ford was one of those, by the way, according to Richard Hoagland, who is a master of all kinds of information tonight, monitoring spaceships, movies. Okay.
Well, I was wondering if the story you reported on about the magnetic pole shift.
Yes. It's leaving, it's left Canada, it's now headed towards Siberia.
Right.
Yeah.
Couldn't that explain some of this?
It might. I think some geologists and scientists are beginning to think that these strange Earth changes could have an effect on all this. I do like Jim Birkeland's theories about the new moon and the full moon. And the full moon officially is on Wednesday. And, you know, anything could happen. Today, by the way, was the official day of summer. Did you know that?
Yes.
But it is earthquake time, I think, around those two periods.
So I'm just hanging in, you know.
Just keep hanging in.
I'm not afraid of it,
yeah,
you know.
But you're on the New Madrid Fault, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
I was too up there in St. Louis.
Right. They say that these earthquakes aren't on, you know, they're not caused by the New Madrid Fault. They're saying that they're caused by the ones from California.
You mean the ones you're having right now?
Yes.
Yeah, but one's from California doing that in Kentucky?
That's what they said.
Oh, man.
That was what was in the paper. But, you know.
You never know.
You never know.
Okay, thanks for the call.
You're awesome, and your staff is great. I want to say I love the music selection.
They are doing well tonight, I'll tell
you. They do awesome every night.
They're in strange moods tonight, though. They're in some kind of lovey-dovey mode. I don't know.
I noticed that a little bit.
Yeah,
but
it's not me. It's them.
Well, I tell you what. I thank God every day for the show, and it's... You're awesome.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it. All kinds of earth changes. By the way, vacation coming up, as I mentioned a couple days ago, two periods. I don't take a lot of time off, as you well know. Two periods during the year where there are no ratings. So those are the times that I can get out. Art taught me that a long time ago when I used to fill in for him in non-vacation periods, on vacation period times like this. And so Thursday, I'll tell you what the lineup is. I've got 1, 2, 3 guest hosts and a couple of best of. So we'll take care of you. Not to worry. Make sure you're listening to Coast. And what will I do on vacation? I don't know. I don't have any idea. But it's time for a vacation. Perhaps I'll take suggestions. I'll be back in a moment. Nick Redfern, our guest. He's a great guest. And he's got an incredible story about what he calls the horrible truth at the heart of the Roswell story. New investigation with his book called Body Snatchers in the Desert. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.